good to be here in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I want to speak about discouragement this morning, but I want to be encouraging about discouraging. Not discouraging, you know. Because I know that a lot of times we get discouraged, and it's common, a part of our life. And sometimes we choose, you know, we can choose to live in discouragement or we can choose to walk out of it. Amen? That's our choice. And so today I want to speak about that. You know, discouragement kind of goes along with depression. But really, discouragement leads to depression. And sometimes we get depressed, and I think of depression as being this big pit. And you fall into this big pit, and it's hard to get out of it. It's hard to climb out of it because it seems like no matter what you do, you got to claw tooth and nail to get out of it. And so, but depression can lead to that. And, you know, it takes a lot of energy to escape depression. But, you know, I look at discouragement as just being like a mud puddle. Nobody wants to get their feet wet, right? We try to hop over these mud puddles, but that's the same way we should be with discouragement. We should avoid them. You know, nobody wants to, you know, I watch these videos where people were jumping over these mud puddles or jumping in them, and next thing you know, they're deeper than they thought they were. It happens. I wanted to show those videos up here, but I didn't get them to Vernon, so things didn't work out. But you've all saw that on the funny videos where some guy jumps in a mud puddle and he goes up over his head, you know. And that's what discouragement's like. Because we can choose to avoid those things, you know. You know, the problem arises when we live in those mud puddles that we get into. You know, we get into them on a daily basis at times. And it can ruin your life. It really can. And I've seen a lot of people that just kind of live in that discouragement. And it continues to fester and continues to build, and it brings them into a state of depression. And so they seem to live in this life that everything's negative and everything's discouraging and, oh, woe is me. And you know, and I see the state of our country, the things that are going on right now with all this word that I don't like to use anymore because I'll just say this, what's going on? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. You know, people have gotten discouraged. They've gotten depressed, they've gotten down, and it's affected all parts of our lives. And so in the book, in the Bible, we can read in Nehemiah a little story about that, and I've preached on this before. But, you know, one word from the Bible that I want to read this morning is Hebrews 3:13. It says, encourage one another day after day as long as it is still called today. I use that scripture a little bit on Wednesday. But as long as it is today, we need to encourage one another. Amen? That's what we're here for each other for, the family of God, to encourage one another. Discouragement can be devastating, as I said before, but the good news is that discouragement can be overcome. Discouragement can be overcome. So if we look at the book of Nehemiah, if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, you can look at chapter 4. And starting in verse 1, I'll give you a moment. You know, here we find that the leader of the Jewish group that had returned after the fall of Babylon, when the Persians came in and got them out of that. And so they went back, this remnant went back. And they went back to build this, they were going to build the walls up back around Jerusalem. And so when they were on their way back, which was a pretty good journey back from where they came, and they were excited. They had a lot of energy and excitement. Man, they were excited about going back and building this wall and building, getting back to Jerusalem where they came from. And but when they started working together, and after a little while, they got discouraged. And so the story reads, now it came about that when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. He spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish it in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones? Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was near him, and he said, even what they are building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break their stone wall down. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I Lord, let us learn from your word this morning. Lord, I humbly turn myself over to you, Lord. Let your words that speak through me, Lord, let our ears be open and our hearts be receptive to your word. Lord, I praise you for each and every person that's here this morning. May we leave here better than we came because of what you've done. Lord, let your Holy Spirit again anoint, reform, change lives this morning, Lord, as we hear your word. I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, those words of discouragement right there that we read, aren't they? The discouraging words of a people who were so excited about getting their city built back. And here's a group of people that says, no, you know, this is foolish. You don't want to do that. You're wasting your time. And, you know, they start criticizing the Jews, and all this criticism takes an impact on them, just like it does in our life too, doesn't it? When people start criticizing you, you know, even if it's about wearing a tie to church or something like that. I'm sorry. But, you know, these things can affect how you feel. You know, even the things that you wear, the things that you, who you are. I mean, it can affect things in your life, and it can cause discouragement to rise up in your life. And, you know, this small group of Jews got about halfway done with the wall, and here they said this: the strength of the burden bearers is failing. Yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. Our enemy said, they will not know or see until we come among them, kill them, and put a stop to the work. That's in Nehemiah 4, verses 10 through 11. You know, this discouragement here, I see four reasons that the people got discouraged in the scripture. One is fatigue. They got tired. And, you know, the people of Judah said this: the strength of the laborers is giving out. In other words, they had worked long hours and a long time and were physically exhausted. They were just plain wore out, physically and emotionally drained. You know, and have you ever been that way? Have you ever got to that point where you were just physically and emotionally drained? You just couldn't do any more. I think we all have, haven't we? And this is where they were at. And you ever been tired of being tired? And I mean really tired. You have been. And so, you know, I find myself, the only thing that will get me out of that is I just got to get alone somewhere. And I got to either kick back in my recliner and just clock out for a little while, or I just got to get away from everything and just take a break. And just sometimes I just got to get away and get alone with God and say, Lord, I need you. I need to focus on you. And I get peace in my heart. And I know we all get there. We get burned out at times. You know, and I read so many things about how pastors in our country today are burned out and they just quit and leave the ministry. And it's an astronomical number. And I'm like, Lord, please don't ever let me get to that place. Don't let me get to that place that I'm so discouraged and I'm so burned out that I'm ready to walk away from what you've called me to do. And I see it and I read about it over and over again. It happens with church members as well. You know, we have disciples in the church and they get tired and they get burned out because of all stresses going on in life, and not only in life but in the church. And it seems like we do things over and over and we have not enough help to get it done. And I'm just speaking honestly with you this morning. It can happen, and we can all get into a place where we're tired and we're burned out, but that's why we need God so much in our life. We need Jesus in our life all the time. And because we can get tired and we can get fatigued, and, you know, sometimes we've just done all we can do. And we just need a little nap sometimes to get us back refreshed and back on the right path. You know, there's nothing like getting a good night's sleep and you wake up the next morning refreshed. Isn't it? You ever feel that way? You get up and, man, you just feel good. I know I've had times in my life where I couldn't sleep at night, and it seemed like I couldn't get any rest, and I'd wake up just as tired as when I went to bed. But man, I tell you, those are tough times in our life, aren't they? And I know many of you go through that. But rest can do wonders to the body, soul, and the spirit. Sometimes we need spiritual rest too. We got to get alone with God and we just got to pray. It's important that you find your closet. Sometimes it's awesome to come together and worship with you guys and hear testimonies and prayers. I mean, we can pray together and we can worship together, but man, it's those times where we can get alone in our prayer closet somewhere, wherever that may be, and get alone with God and just let Him have it all. Amen? I mean, those are wonderful moments. And I've had many experiences with God in my life just because I was willing to get alone and just listen for that small, still voice. It's not those big moments where the windows open up in heaven and they're wonderful to see people come and get saved. Amen? But these altars, as wonderful as they are, they're not the only place that people can get saved. You know, these are a wonderful place for people to come and be supported by our family here and get prayed with, right? Amen? You know, we also get frustrated, just as they did. There was frustration that came upon them. And because they said, the text says here, there was much rubbish. In other words, you know what they're saying is, there is so much junk in the way that they could not build the wall. You know, from the prior walls of the city and of the temple were all just in ruin. They were laying around everywhere. And they didn't have bulldozers and track hoes and all that heavy equipment that we have today. They had to do it physically. And some of those stones, if you've ever looked at the Wailing Wall and looked at some of the stones over in Jerusalem, man, they're huge. How did they move those? I wonder, you know, and how did the Egyptians build the things that they built? You look at that. It took many, many, many people to build those. Strong people. You know, the rubbish for them was the remains of the old wall, and they were building a new wall, but the old broken rocks were everywhere. There was mortar and bricks and dust and dirt and all kinds of stuff to deal with. And when they looked at all the junk, they didn't see any way they could get the job done because there was just so much stuff in the way. You know, whenever we do a project, you know, sometimes it can be overwhelming like that. I just did one of those projects. I opened up the garage door and I look in the garage and I'm like, oh, all this stuff, I need to clean it. Because you know how it is. You come home and you sit, so I'll put the cooler here. I'll put the lawn chairs here and I'll put this here. And next thing you know, after 6 months or so goes by, you can't hardly walk through the garage because all the stuff scattered around. And you open the door and you look at it and over time it gets overwhelming. And you open the door and you're like, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it another day. It's just too overwhelming. It's discouraging. Well, I broke that discouragement here this week, and I cleaned the garage out, you know. But it was overwhelming. Like, what am I supposed to do with all this stuff? It's not all my stuff. I just want to throw it away. Let's get a dumpster. I'll buy new stuff later if I need it. I want to get rid of it. I don't want to deal with it. Who's been that way? I'm not alone with that. I mean, sometimes you just get overwhelmed, and you're like, you just want it gone. Well, you know, there's things in our lives that get cluttered up and build up, this rubbish that goes on in our life, and sometimes we can get bound down by all the rubbish, and it prevents us from doing what God calls us to do. Amen. You know, and sometimes we got to clear out the clutter. We got to get rid of all that rubbish that's in the way so that we can do what God wants us to do. And sometimes when we have to deal with that stuff, it's very frustrating and we get discouraged. And so I ask you, what rubbish is in your life this morning that you need to get out of the way? Get out of the way so that you can be the person that God wants you to be. Sometimes it's physical rubbish that's in our lives, the things that we get bound down with. Sometimes it's our job that just really gets us discouraged and it makes everybody else miserable around you. Come on now.
Amen.
I mean, sometimes we need to get rid of some stuff or figure out how to deal with it. Sometimes it's the spiritual rubbish that's in our life. Sometimes there's sinful things that have taken root in our life, and sometimes we got to get rid of those things. Not just sometimes, we need to get rid of those things. So what's the rubbish in your life? Is it the stuff that waste your time. We get so involved in, with all the rubbish that we don't have time to do what God wants us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes it takes us away from our family as well because we have so much stuff going on in our life we can't even deal with our family. Hey, come on now. I'm just speaking the truth. It's the stuff that keeps us from doing the things that we're that's really most important in our life. The rubbish in our lives. The third thing is they had a mental failure. Now, I've been there. I've been there. There's been times in my life where I'm just like, I'm done mentally. I'm done. I don't want to think another thing. I don't want to focus on anything else. I'm done. I that's it. And here's what the people said here in this scripture. We ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. They had just quit. Mentally, they had quit. Not only that, but physically. It caused them to quit physically. You know, what they're saying is, we can't do it anymore. It's impossible. It's just like when I raise the garage door up and I look at it, I'm like, I can't do this. Not by myself. I got to have help. I'm not doing it, and then shut the garage door down so I can't see it. See? That's what you do. And nobody else can see your junk and rubbish. So it becomes mentally, I mentally failed on that one, right? So I just shut down. I'm like, I just want to ignore it, you know? You know, we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. Yes, we ourselves are unable to do it, but you know what? Through Christ, all things are possible. Amen. God helps us rebuild things in our life, and God helps us get rid of those things, those rubbish in our life. We can try to get rid of it, but without God, we cannot. We'll fail every time. We need God in our life to help us. You know, the people were saying it's foolish to do this. And they were listening to everybody else around them. They had, you know, they had gotten halfway done and they just quit. You know, a little story, and I probably told this before, but in May 4th of 1954, something was accomplished that many thought would never get done. There was a runner by the name of Roger Bannister. He ran a mile in 4 minutes. And that was a great accomplishment. No man had ever done that before. And the world was like, wow, this guy's the fastest guy in the world. Little did he know that 2 months later he would run against another guy and this guy would run the mile in under 4 minutes. But he was there with him and he beat him. They both ran together. And so now this had been set again. And so this is an amazing story. Landy was in the lead. The story goes like this. When John Landy, they were running against Roger Bannister, and Landy was in the lead, but he glanced over to his left shoulder to see where Bannister was, and at that moment, Bannister was passing him on the right. But both of them had accomplished the impossible. Both of them had ran the mile in under 4 minutes. You know, today the 4 minute mile is just kind of a goal for men to run. There's many people who have broken that goal to run that. And as yet, though, today, no woman has ever ran that fast. But who knows? Lizzie may be the one next to do it. You know she ran, what was that again? I have to brag on her a little bit.
1.87 in 12:15.
Yeah, she ran 1.87 miles in 12 minutes and 15 seconds. Yeah, 6 minute and 33 second mile. Now that little girl, that's fast, I'm telling you. She can definitely outrun me. But you know, how do we handle failure in our life? Do we have a pity party? Most of us do. Woe is me. We go through that. We blame everybody else around us and we take it out on everybody else. You know, that's what we do. That's what human nature is, right? You know, but everybody else we think has let us down. You know, and they didn't do their part. And the difference between winners and losers, though, is that winners always see failures as being only temporary. Amen. Yeah. And that's what it is when we live with Christ in our life. We are the winners. Because we may lose at times, but that losing is only temporary because we have Christ in our life. Amen.
Amen.
The fourth thing is they were fearful. Verse 11 says, Our enemy said, kill them and put a stop to the work. Man, they were afraid. And I know that, I've been afraid in my life. You know, there were people in the land of Israel who did not want the wall to be built. They were the enemies of the Jews. And a wall around the city represented safety and defense. And so these enemies didn't want the wall to be finished. So first they criticized the Jews, and then they ridiculed them, and finally they threatened them. So the wall builders got discouraged because of fear. Do you have fears and discouragement in your life right now? I know we get that way. You know, we're afraid to do certain things because we don't think we can accomplish it. You know, sometimes we're afraid that, and it keeps us from accomplishing the goals that God has set before us. You know, or sometimes we're afraid to take that big step that we need to take. Sometimes we need to let some stuff go, and sometimes we need to come down and get before God. Sometimes we need to come down and have our prayer warriors within the church pray with us. And let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with coming down here and praying at the altar. It doesn't mean it doesn't mean that you're not saved. Okay, come on. It just means that you need your family, the family that we belong to, the family of God, our friends, our encouragers here, to pray with us and help us. Amen? Amen. To support us. That's what these altars represent. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we need not to be fearful of that. Remember that, you know, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. The scripture says, do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. In Luke 12:7. In Isaiah 54, it says, fear not, for you will not be put to shame, and do not feel humiliated, for you will be disgraced. You will not be disgraced. Isaiah 43:5 says, do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. You know, fear can lead to discouragement, but we are instructed not to fear. We're instructed not to fear. You know, I see these four ways, though, that we can overcome discouragement. We need to reevaluate our goals. You know, look what Nehemiah said here after he heard that the people were discouraged. He said, then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall and exposed places and stationed the people and families with their swords, spears, and bows. Nehemiah 4:13. Rather than moving the people away from the wall, he moved them up to the wall so they could look at the wall and see the work that they had already done. You know, there was much still needed work to be done, and I'll say that today, church. Jesus is not done with His church. He still needs us to do the work that He started. We're still building that wall. We're still making disciples. We're still bringing the gospel to the world. And that won't end until He comes back. Amen?
Amen.
They were evaluating their goals. And if you walk away from the wall, you have given up. And that's what He's saying. You can't walk away. You've got to go towards it. You got to go towards the battle. Nehemiah was saying we need to look this stuff over and we need to get this problem solved. When you get discouraged, don't give up on your goals. Instead, figure out a way to get it done. Keep moving forward. When you get discouraged, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing the wrong thing. That's what everybody else wants to tell you you're doing. You know, they needed to feel secure, so He put them together with their family. Man, isn't it wonderful that we can come together here with our family? I feel secure here because I have you guys with me, praying for me. Amen?
Amen.
That's why we need our church family. And that's what He's saying. We put them together so we can protect each other. How do we protect each other? With prayers. Amen?
Amen.
We fight battles spiritually, not physically. You know, the old devil, he's out there to destroy each and every one of us. He'd love to see me get destroyed, you know, because it discourages a lot of people. Just like you, when he destroys you, he discourages everybody around you. Amen?
Amen.
We need each other so we can pray for each other and hold each other up. You know, they needed this wall, and yes, they had gotten discouraged, but they needed to keep building. They needed to reevaluate where they were and at that and to keep moving forward with their goal. And they needed a positive attitude. How many of us have got a positive attitude this morning? Amen?
Amen.
Only three? Thank you.
Only three.
Thank you. I'm glad I got three, right? Three with a positive attitude. That is a start. You know? Hey, Jesus only had 12, right?
Yeah.
And not all of them had a positive attitude either most of the time. You know? That's what it took. That's why it took the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, that's why we need to seek the Holy Spirit's power in our life to keep us from being discouraged. Amen?
Amen.
That's why we believe in that infilling of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the power of the Holy Spirit, He brings peace, He brings joy, but yet He brings sanctification to our lives. You know? He said, be sanctified is what the Bible says. Be sanctified. Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. What's that mean? We got to live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. It keeps us from being discouraged. Again, I want to remind you that we need to realize that you're not alone. We're all in this together. We all have issues, maybe different, but we all have problems in our lives. And we're not alone, though. We have each other. Amen?
Amen?
Not only in this body, and I'm so thankful for you guys, but not only here, but we have the body of Christ. We have the churches all over. We have Christian friends. We can pray together, and we can worship together, and we can hold each other up. We shouldn't tear each other apart. That's why He stationed people in families. I think about that. You know, we have family stationed all over the world in churches. Little groups that get together throughout the week and worship together and encourage each other. You know, we're not alone. Again, the scripture there in Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another day after day as long as it's still called today. From morning to night, I want to encourage you. I hope I'm an encouragement to you. You know, it's important that we have other people in our lives. I couldn't make it without my friends and that are there to encourage me. Many of you praying for me. I couldn't do it on my own. We also need to be ready to fight. Sounds funny, but we do. We got to be ready for Satan. Because let me tell you, he brings the fight to you. And we got to be ready to fight. We need to be ready. We need to be armed and ready by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, I station the people in families with their swords, spears, and bows. Why would he do this? We have to carry the weapons. Amen. We have to carry the armor of God with us. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can I get some good prayers to come down here and pray? Amen. The scripture said, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Resist the devil. Resist his negative thoughts. And resist the discouragement. God is so good. We just trust in Him. And in 1 John 4:4, it says this, my dear children, you come from God and belong to God. You have already won a big victory over those false teachers, for the Spirit in you is far stronger than anything in this world. Amen?
Amen.
So let's leave with that in our hearts and in our minds, that God, the Spirit that lives within you, is far stronger than anything within this world.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand for prayer. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the wonderful mercy and grace that you've bestowed upon us. Lord, I just pray for your Holy Spirit's guidance. As we leave here, Lord, we don't leave without you. We leave with you. You go with us everywhere we go, Lord. And Lord, I know that we can be more than conquerors if we just keep abiding in you. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. Keep us safe throughout this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Thank you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.